Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with a map of divine blessing. The ones who the world considers disposable are the ones who God blesses. Now Jesus pivots to the question of the true identity of his listeners, locating them on the map of blessing and charging them with a mission. In short, you are salt and light. You. Matthew creates three circles around Jesus. An inner circle of disciples who join Jesus on the mountainside. An outer circle of sick and afflicted people. And a wider third circle. Those who hear Matthew throughout the ages, which includes you and me. Salt. Salt is prized in the ancient world. Without refrigeration, salt is essential for preserving and keeping food. Salt was used in ancient sacrifice and had ritual and liturgical uses and values. Jesus emphasizes salt's savory function, its role, the role it plays in making food taste better as a preservative, as a liturgical element, as a culinary addition. Salt was a precious commodity in Jesus' day. Salt of the earth is a mark of status for the people that Jesus is preaching to. Human history has been shaped by salt. Trade routes developed to bring salt from one place to another. Government monopolies were created to control salt and through salt control people. In India, Mahatma Gandhi, when the British put a tax on salt, led the salt march. The word salary comes from Latin, a Latin term for the soldier's allowance for the purchase of salt. Salt is a small thing of great value. And a pinch of salt, we know, can make a big difference. Now, as Catherine can attest, I am not a cook. But I know that the right amount of salt at the right time in the right way enhances a meal. But just as I am not a musician, but can appreciate music, I am not a cook, but I can appreciate the value of salt. Salt brings out the flavor of food. It makes food not only become itself, it only more so. We as a Christian community can do the same. Our salt is love. We season all that we do with the salt of love. We include those who others exclude. There are churches in our community that will not include people because of their sexuality. We embrace and welcome and affirm as an open and affirming church all people. Catherine was telling me yesterday that she was seeing a hairdresser and talking to her about our open and affirming, and the hairdresser was like, welcome gay people? And this is a church? We are the salt of the earth, bringing love, including others that others will exclude. We can promote healthy relationships. We can resist domination and violence in relationships. We can restore, that is, heal those wounded by harms and by harming. Next Sunday, I will share more about February being Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. For now, we are salt that brings love. Relate, resist, restore. And then Jesus moves on to light. Jesus gives an image of audacity and service. A small thing that handled well can make a big difference. With salt and light, Jesus is telling people who have been oppressed and beaten down and think that they are very small, that small things can make a big difference. They can make a big difference in their world. A lamp illuminates long after the sun has set. Now, we need to remember, it's easy to forget in our world, that everybody in Jesus' time was without electricity, whether they were very poor or very rich. They all were without electricity. They were, however, all equipped with small lamps, enough light to function inside a small house after dark. They didn't need it to read because most of them were illiterate, but enough to function inside their small houses. Putting a basket over a burning flame, a burning light, is, of course, absurd, and people would know, well, that's one way that you would extinguish a light. But if you put the wrong thing over that burning flame, it can be dangerous. Jesus is saying, you are not meant to be hidden. You are meant for shining, for illuminating, for giving light. How would that shift how we go about being the church? What we do and how we do it. Too many local churches hide themselves from their communities, resist any engagement with their neighbors. It is very difficult to love our neighbors if we refuse to talk or listen or to invite or in somehow engage these people, these neighbors. I was in a church that claimed it wanted to, quote unquote, grow. But they would say back to me, no, no, no. We cannot go and talk with our neighbors. We just can't. What they meant was, we just won't. Community organizing, the whole process of community organizing, places a key emphasis on a listening project involving many one-to-one sessions where people listen to their neighbors. This is how community organizers organize. When a community organizer comes into a community, the first thing they're doing is engaging in one-on-ones with people and eventually teaching those people to have one-on-one listening sessions with others so that eventually they can have enough of these listening sessions to understand what the needs are in that community and can start organizing around that. I have served several local churches that refused to even listen to their neighbors. And as a result, they remain hidden in plain sight from their neighbors. We can listen to our neighbors. We can engage in one-to-one conversations. We can be seen and we can shine. Amen.